Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to our. Oh, I'm gonna start that again one more time. Okay, now I'm recording in both the apps. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on transforming anger into movement and momentum in the Daimo Meridian. And as we head into today's session, feel free to take a moment to find a place where you can get quiet and cozy, sit and lay, be undisturbed. And as you settle in, beginning here, perhaps by means of breathing, every inhale an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, to the very least neutral, taking time to savor this. Taking all the time you need, all the time you'd like, because there's no rush. And then the invitation is to, you can stay right where you are if that feels good. Also, if you're ready for more, feel free to take a moment to either scan outwardly or inwardly. Again, looking for anything that's pleasant, to the very least neutral. And as you let your gaze land on that, outward or inward, wherever it may be, invitation to notice what it is you like the most about these things, this part, this area, perhaps it's a memory, whatever it is you're noticing, really lean into what's the most pleasant, perhaps even exquisite thing that I like about this right now. And as you notice the pleasant, perhaps even the exquisite, taking time again, taking time to savor and receive this nourishment. Drinking it in. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all that you bring to the table. And thank you to all that's been supportive of you being here today. What a thing, what a thing. To have us all in connection in this way involved a lot of people before us. Thank you to those families of yours. Thank you to your ancestors. And thank you to the lineages. And the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded the very lands that have been caretaken over the decades, the centuries, and beyond. Give thanks for all those that have stewarded this region that we get to draw nourishment from, this land. And as you take time to receive all of that, feel free to add any other words of thanks that you may also have. Thank you. And thank you to your villages, to your team of supports, and all that's allowed for you to really take this time for you in this moment. Blessings to you all on this journey. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And as we start off, interesting, we're actually starting off in the 12th house. House of endings, house of releasing, house of allowing, house of letting go, peeling back the layers of who it is we are not. And as we begin here, we're actually running lymphatic circulation, interestingly enough, for everything through the midline. Charlie's going to take a moment to get settled. That's what you're hearing back there. And as we run lymphatic circulation through the midline, cleaning out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking and overanalyzing, especially as it relates to all things trust. Now we're actually going all the way back to fetal life, where we were developing those midline structures, were one of the first things that showed up in our neural tube formation. And as we were developing those in those ways, there may have been information that came through in those very early weeks, months of development, which informed you about trust. And we're actually drawing on, in addition to the general, there's also one thing specific that relates to all of that. And this is this idea of people not even noticing that you were there. So this is actually going back to the first 4, 5, 6 weeks, which you likely didn't have a detectable presence yet. Most parents don't know they're pregnant. Some do. They're really sensitive. They know from the moment of conception. But if your parents were not that sensitive, they might not have noticed or detected your presence. And there's this idea of, I'm going to use a few different words, but this idea of, I'm not valuable because I'm not being seen. It's hopeless because I'm not being seen. And why doesn't anyone notice me? It's all in the mix here. Some of you might relate more to one of those themes than the other. And as we work with this, we could simply distill it all down into one particular anchor point of being noticed, being noticed, being seen, being heard. It might be juicier for you. So feel free to lean into that territory if it is. And as we work with this theme, as I'm going to refer to it, being noticed, we're actually going to run hydration in through the midline structures that we're developing those first 4, 5, 6 weeks of life. And as we work with hydration at the very beginning of life, inviting the very beginning of things, the beginning of all that you create, to be done so in a way that comes from that place of joy, that place of feeling hydrated, being in pleasure, being in hydrated in joy, being hydrated in all the good, sensual, yummy things of life. And hydration also helps us to release anything that's in the way of that. Yeah, including releasing any low self-esteem that may have come about around feeling unnoticed in any way. And that's showing up as a mirror for this stage and age of life around, again, that theme of being noticed. Yeah, and specifically, we're running a permissions here. But first, I got ahead of myself. We're going to address the belief system. And the belief system is, do I even matter? It's a form of a question. Do I even matter? And it's being defined by the consciousness of very similar to being unnoticed, but being disregarded, being disregarded. And there's a, for some of you, there's also a flavor of that being related to being disregarded as a female. And as we work that, running permissions with us all. And the words here are, it's safe to take up your space. It's safe to be present and take up all of your space. Beautiful. And as that begins to land, I see the thoracic inlet diaphragm along with, I haven't used this term in a while, but the second belt of fear that runs around the collarbone begin to stretch and unwind and twist and torque. There's various different adhesions starting to release in very small ways. And those small ways may begin to get just a little bit bigger. Invitation to breathe right into that base of the throat region. Yeah, and around that first rib, there is some stickiness as well. To support that just a little bit further, we actually have to run a body chemistry. Interesting for both the first rib as well as for the zygoma, the cheekbones. And body chemistry supporting our immune system and all things around acceptance and rejection is dealing with those times in which you were unnoticed and it felt like a rejection, or you were disregarded and it felt like a rejection. And this is actually more male-female stuff. And specifically being overlooked by the masculine and being disregarded in a way that it's like they didn't even stop to consider this was a possibility to see me, to see my gifts, to see what I could offer type of energy here. And as we work with this, unwinding that through the first rib as well as into actually the back of the neck around C4, 5, 6. And some of those nerves actually go down to innervate the diaphragm, not all of them, but a lot of them. As we work with this, it's actually causing the diaphragm to seize up, to want to take control back. And that in turn is affecting the thoracic inlet diaphragm. So as we have talked about, but again, probably not for a while, we have the four diaphragms in the body. They're meant to breathe in sync with each other. And when one gets jammed up, often there's a ripple effect, like a domino effect, where the rest become just a little bit compromised. So as we sorted this out in the regular breathing diaphragm, the thoracic inlet diaphragm also starts to respond. And as we continue to unwind through these various things, the heart begins to move forward. Yeah, what if it's safe to share your heart again? What if it's safe to share what you know at the deepest level of your soul again? Sometimes we get into habits of suppressing what it is we really want to say. And unexpressed desires tend to, well, carry some level of consequence that you may no longer be available for. So I wonder, what's in that heart of yours today? What's that heart of yours today that you'd like to express but haven't been able to? Or thought it wouldn't be a good idea? Or have judged in some way, shape, or form it's just simply erroneous. I shouldn't do that. I can't do that. I will not do that. And as you work with that all, there's the essence of stubborn will, which I'm saying with love because I'm pretty sure I'm the poster child for that one. I'm happy to share the crown with many others if you'd like. But yeah, the essence here of that stubbornness, so to speak. Came for a really good reason. Yeah, it came for times in which you had to be stubborn, when you had to push through, when you had to survive. It was a form of protection. And right now, it might actually be forming just a little bit of a blockage in terms of you being able to ask for your heart's desires, to ask for what it is you're looking for, what it is you'd like, what it is you'd want. And that's playing out not even just between you and other people, but between you and yourself. Yeah, we can actually suppress our honest wants and desires from ourselves. So as we work with this, we're going to bring in all five, six senses for sensual awareness. And it's linking all the way up to what I'm going to refer to metaphorically as your flame of awareness, meaning all the structures that go into observation that lead to you being aware of what it is. Well, I'm going to, in this territory, again, use that phrasing of heart's desire. And as the heart is already starting to move forward from all the other work through the diaphragms, it's ready, it's eager, it's happy to have this attention this way. However, there's one part on the bottom left of the heart, the left ventricle, that's dragging behind just a little bit. Looks tired, looks exhausted, looks like, ugh, this again? I have to trudge through more stuff and ask for what I want? Like, I already got enough on my plate. And now I have to do more things? There's that sensibility of overwhelm here. Yeah. And underneath that exhaustion, interestingly enough, there's a pattern of using anger to continue just to push through, to make it through, to potentially even swallow anger, to use it as fuel, and suppressing that anger to be able to draw on it again for what it is you think that you need a bit of a reservoir, a boost. It's a little bit of a habit pattern that is actually quite common to everybody, male, female. We often have this idea where we need to carry a reserve of anger, and if we let it go, where will we draw from the next time we need to protect ourselves, or the next time we need to push ourselves to be motivated, or the list goes on. And as we work with that sort of draggy energy at the base of the left side of the heart there, there's also a past life energy in the mix of somebody who was quite a ways back through your ancestral lines, 8 generations back on mom's side. And it's relating to a time in which they had to walk for an extended period of time. And, hazardous conditions, not great weather. And it actually translated to, in this lifetime, feeling like it's too much of a challenge to weather the storms of life. And in that past life energy, the walk was again no small thing. Like there was starvation, there was dehydration, there was wear and tear in the body, there was a lack of knowing about safety, there was a whole lot of survival stuff up. Well, you can put it quite plainly that way. And that actually is also stored within the reptilian brain, within the spinal column. And as we work with this, it's particularly impacting the low back region, as well as all the way down through the nerves that innervate the legs and where they come off of the low back region there. So as we work with this is now linking into that Daimyo meridian, having a tendency to get so tight all the way around that it actually pulls away from the earth, your energy. It literally like draws the legs upwards all the way, almost like the diaphragm and the upper shoulder musculature, and even into the neck, are the ones that are actually like trying to lift you away and up from the earth, because it feels like, again, it's just too much here to deal with. And that Daimyo meridian constriction is essentially behind that all. So as we work with this, there's a few different pieces that we're going to do simultaneously. We're going to run hydration through the regular breathing diaphragm and run lymphatic circulation through the entire back body, and mostly that lower back, and on the sides also, so including back and side body. And then all the way through the legs and that Daimyo meridian, we're going to run circulation of all the healing resources. And then do a defrag. So the circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that again drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous and our immune system, and really most of our body mind to heal. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. And as we work with those minor chakras in particular, we're going to simultaneously bring in the planetary energy of the moon to every single one of them. I didn't get a chance to say that earlier, so I just doubled back briefly. And as we bring in the moon, bringing in the maternal love into every one of the minor chakras, and there's 21 of them, all the way through the face, the arms, the legs, the genitals, the breasts. And as we connect all of these regions to maternal love, what is it to be held sweetly throughout the nights? And if we're held sweetly by the moon or any other way, perhaps we hold ourselves sweetly throughout the night. There's actually the capacity to somehow be able to keep going, to go on, and we get to draw from that instead of the old ways of having to push forward with anger. What if it could come from a place of resource and nourishment? Even if it feels like there's not so much available, still being able to locate it in new ways that begin to get stronger and stronger. And as we offer this energy of getting to be recharged at nights by the presence of the moon herself, to every one of these minor chakras. Also circulating the balance of yin and yang, feminine and masculine, and running hydration. Taking in that water, that joy, releasing any impurities that don't need to be here. Then that defrag all the way through these legs and diamond meridian, including much like a spring clean or a defrag, taking out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here and what remains to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And now the permissions arises. It's safe to move on. Oh, pardon me. It's safe to go on. It's safe to go on. Yeah, it's safe to go on. It's safe to keep going. And as we tap into this reservoir of resilience that may not have even seemingly existed a moment ago, linking it again into house 12, house of allowing, house of surrendering to all the new possibilities that are here now. And as you let yourself sweetly sink into surrender in this way, invitation to breathe just a little deeper, just 1% more. Just for now, just for now. What if I didn't have to figure anything out? And I got to go just a little bit more sweetly deeper into this surrender. And then if this lands for anybody, feel free to let it float by if it doesn't. What if I don't even need to know how? What if the knowing of how is actually not supportive to this process of surrender? What if rather than having to figure it out and know how, you get to spontaneously have it arise? What if there's a new way of being able to learn and grow that wasn't seemingly so present in the earlier days of life, including in particular those first few weeks? And here we're actually unhooking unnecessary self-reliance or the need to be ultra-independent to figure it out all on your own versus getting to just be shown. To have that knowledge arise spontaneously, to have that wisdom be here. It's possible. There's all sorts of ways of learning and growing. And as we open up these more feminine or right brain ways of learning and growing, tapping into the sweetness of that potential that she holds, I see the entire right body actually soften and sink into that. Yeah, it doesn't always have to come through clarity in a left brain way. Sometimes it gets to arise from mystery, not history. And we're gonna tap out here, invitation to breathe and receive in any way that feels right. Offering that just another gentle round, a breath or two, letting that integrate here. And then we're heading into now the pelvic diaphragm. And that base of the pelvic bowl essentially, and the different musculature makes that up. And there's some interesting twists and torques happening through here. And it seems to be coming mostly through the base chakra. And now without the exhaustion, that fatigue in the heart, how that's lifted, there actually is more room for this base chakra to not also have to be drained. The heart, as it opens, begins to fuel every part of the body, including that base chakra. And as we connect the heart to the base, creating harmony in all that you do to survive, to meet your basic needs. And here we need to release a particular pattern around it being related to having to be hard work that gets you through. And again, opening up to the capacity for this to arise more effortlessly, more spontaneously. Opening up receptivity, there's my word. Took me a second to find it. And as we work with receptivity in this way, opening up the pelvic bowl to support receptivity by means of creating safety through resourcing and nourishment. Again, running circulation of all the same healing resources through here. And in particular, linking the sexual chakra's energy and its vitality through to the base, through to the sacrum and the coccyx. And as we get to sacrum coccyx territory, there's a little bit of overzealous Saturn energy and Jupiter energy alike. So we're just gonna calm them both down. They have a tendency sometimes to clash heads. Saturn energy is very much about hard work and also realistic capacities. However, sometimes that part gets a little neglected to be realistic. And then the Neptune side of it all, or pardon me, Jupiter side of it all, is about growth and expansion. Yeah, so there's this Saturn contraction and this Jupiter expansion sort of tug of war happening here. And they're both just escalating and escalating and escalating their volume, trying to figure out who can win. So as we tune down, tone down, cool down this argument, running hydration through all these structures, bringing that water, that joy, and releasing of any sort of that battle energy or that need to be right, that need to fight. Okay, now as that begins to soften through the pelvis, now I see the pelvic bowl begin to rock a little bit more easily with the breath. And if you know what that means, feel free to actually just go ahead and do that, to rock your pelvis with your breath. And if you're not sure what that means, I'll talk about it briefly. Know that you can do it in any postures. Sitting's a little bit easier sometimes. And as we breathe, we're essentially going to allow the pelvis to drop forward, or thinking of it as the top of the pelvis moves forward, the base of the pelvis moves back. And that's the inhale. The exhale reverses that without slumping. So inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale is what that looks like. And as you move and groove with your pelvis, that rock begins to actually act almost like a pump of energy. And that energy begins to build through the pelvic bowl, and begins to actually spill down the legs. And as it overflows the pelvic bowl here, it begins to also rise up the front and back body, the side body alike. And as it goes, it's actually going to start pretty core, and it just begins to radiate out to, again, front, back, and side body. And as this energy slowly begins to rise, it may continue to rise all the way through the spine, all the way up into perhaps even the area at the base of the heart, back behind the heart. Maybe even it goes all the way up to the base of the neck. And maybe it goes even beyond that. Up and out. All the way through to the crown of the head. And maybe it somehow even seemingly goes even slightly beyond that. And as we get the spine moving, rocking with this pelvis, with this breath, bringing in new energy, new life, there's a series of, again, little twists, torques, adhesions all the way through the erector spinae muscles on either side of the spine. And as they get encountered, any ones that are ready to go get to dissipate. And as they do so, know that our basic character structure is contained here. And I'm specifically seeing it relate to our will structure, our need to potentially be right, be heard, be seen, as we've been sort of dancing around that territory for most of the session. And as this begins to adjust, I actually see the dantian, oh my gosh, the daimo meridian. We're going to get to dantian in just a moment. But the daimo meridian begin to slowly light up. Like it doesn't have to work so hard to create that constriction to keep things separated between lower body and upper body. Now that there's this easeful flow going all the way through, the daimo actually gets to feel a little safer. It doesn't need, excuse me, doesn't need to grip or brace. I just hear the daimo meridian go, oh, it's safe to be included. And it's as if it felt a little bit distant or separated from the rest of the system. And as it gets to be lovingly included, embraced, it actually develops a sense of belonging. And it supports your own centers of belonging, which hang out around the navel, just to the side of them. I'm running of permissions here. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here. And we're linking that again all the way back to those first 6 weeks of life around feeling the being disregarded, being unnoticed, and all the other themes that were tying into that. And as we work with this, I'm supposed to be here. I belong right here, just as I am. The region of trust that we worked with earlier begins to actually really receive that and hear that and take that in a way that allows that excessive will structure, that excessive need to be potentially right or to assert yourself in ways that may or may not be working. And any excess anger that's behind that, you will hear me if I'm rageful, right? If I scare you and I'm a little intimidating with my anger, then you'll hear me, right? Or any other themes that may tie into that and how that plays out for you. I'll let you take a moment to take a look and see if anything there relates for you. And interesting. We're going to link that into, again, all five, six senses for awareness, and then up to the head brain for even more awareness. And then down into the heart brain for releasing, for integration. That heart's open, it's ready, and it's no longer tired and exhausted. It can process this. And as old will structures begin to die away, begin to fall away, begin to surrender even more deeply. There becomes a quieting present in the nervous system, a sense of potential relaxation or stillness that allows us to really notice what's actually joyful here, to notice what's working well without you having to do anything. It just simply gets to be, and you simply get to be held in life. As we unwind those layers of will structures, And it's unwinding through the base of the neck, all the way down through the back of the heart into the arms. And that need to manipulate or control in all the ways that we do begins to also soften with it. What if we got to put that down too? And then as that happens, I see any excessive wind, using Chinese medicine terms, trapped in the liver and the gallbladder, begin to soften. And as this wind becomes tame, the liver, the gallbladder, and how they relate to the daimo begins to change as well. The liver and the gallbladder actually just get to use healthy anger now to create even more movement and momentum. And the daimo doesn't have to live in fear from that anger that's coming through the liver and the gallbladder meridian. It actually gets to release fear as well as anger alike. And then I just hear in the quietest little voice, a 2-3-year-old go, "I'm scared. I'm scared." What a vulnerability in admitting our scaredness begins to become just a little bit easier. How many times do we just override that and push and keep going in all the ways that we manage our fear? And as that begins to integrate in these new ways, there is actually a richer, sweeter tenderness within that vulnerability. It's one of the most courageous things we can offer ourselves, is our own sensitivity to what's here. What if, instead of having to hold on, the back of the arms got to be held? The back of the neck, the back of the heart. What if, instead of having to hold on, you got to be held? Safely, sweetly. In a way where you knew, with deep trust, there was no one taking advantage, there was no one using you. There was no one doing anything malicious in any way. It just simply got to be support. As the back body, the back of the neck, heart, back of arms begin to suss that out. There's new information that comes through around being able to perceive what it is to actually be invited. And as you open to receive invitations, opening not necessarily just to other people, but more so to invitations from life, invitations to potentially even create again, to dream again, invitations to become even more richly alive again. And I see the daimo begin to take this huge breath of relief in. Almost as if it was supporting that all, that whole pattern. And as the upper body releases that all, the daimo through that low back region gets to get a break. And the pelvis begins to unwind even more. And I see this dance between that pelvic bowl, the hips, and the daimo meridian that runs as that belt line all the way around that low back region begin to dance in a way that actually also is supporting and winding but also checking each other out and figuring out, like, hey, I like you. I can hang out with you. I can invite you to hang out with me as my friends, as my whatever the thing is. And as these two get to know each other, maybe even going on a first date of sorts. There's even deeper, richer understanding and wisdom that begins to come through. We're going to tap this part out here. And as we do so, I'm going to provide, just energetically, obviously, additional specific tapping through all things pelvic bowl, and in particular at the perineum. If it feels appropriate, you're welcome to tap your own perineum, which is the region between vagina or testes and anus, to essentially activate the center point of the entire pelvic bowl, along with some of the most key acupuncture points we may have in our entire system. Governing and conception vessel 1 points, like govern respectively masculine and feminine, primary masculine and feminine energies. And as we tap in these ways, invitation to breathe, and feel free to even rock that pelvis just a little bit more again if that calls to you. And as you drink this energy in, you drink this energy in, the question becomes, what is it I can, oh, let me say that again. The question becomes, what can I softly land in? What can I softly land in? And as we offer this pelvis of yours, the energy of a soft landing, getting to have it be held with respect, with understanding. With being known. With the capacity to give and receive invitation of what you desire. Perhaps a soft landing in wisdom, in tenderness, in sensuality. An invitation to notice what's actually soft here in the pelvis. What is your pelvis resting on that's soft? And can you offer that softness to the pelvis? What if softness is also protection? What if? Then we're heading into the relationships between houses 5, 7, and 8. It's not quite in that order though. We're gonna start in house 7. House 7 being the house of partnerships, of relationships. And as we look at it, sort of bridge into the 8th house, the house of sometimes hard knocks, but also the house of death, rebirth, which can really lead to regeneration. To support that trajectory to transition between the two. We're actually working with fifth house energy, house of pleasure, creativity, of play, of innocence, of the little ones and the inner child. And as we offer that all, bringing in the blessings of all things fifth house into any blockages that might be there as the sort of limitation of moving from house seven to eight in all the ways that that plays out externally, internally, inside of you. Perhaps there's no difference. And as we support the body mind in this transition between houses seven and eight, bringing in the energy of the sun, bringing in that fullest potential of life force available, which is very fifth house. So I'm not surprised that it's here. And I see the bridge between houses seven and eight is creating a physics term. Well, Dr. John Beltham talked about it a lot as well, using the phrase event horizon, event horizon. And in a way, I actually see it play out as like a new dawn, like sunrise. And as the new dawn begins, as the new sun enters here, it's actually a call for surrendering of any blockages, again, that might be in the way of an easeful transition. And as this event horizon becomes even just a little bit more apparent and clear, we need to link it through to wood element to support its expansion. And then through to, first we're going to hydrate that wood element. And as that wood becomes a little bit more expansive, just through hydration, it actually creates a bridging to allow for the fire element to become even more alive and expand and create maximum expansion here. And I see it as actually releasing now the energy of a freeze response, which has a tendency to carry the energy of playing dead. So what's ready to come back to life? What's ready to resurrect? What's ready to be born again? What's ready to be alive again? And that freeze response is related to if I change, if I change my way of being, I'll somehow dishonor my family. And as we bring in that energy of dishonoring the family, releasing any particular elements of shame, any particular elements around not being able to protect, and any particular memories around times in which you may have seemingly let somebody else down, or you're holding on to that idea for whatever reason. And as that shame unwinds, I actually see the last little bit of will structure stuff through the back of the neck and the arms begin to process and integrate even more deeply, in a way that the body actually gets to take it in now. It gets to take in that nourishment around what it's like to have a softer will. And if I could sum up will structure even just a little bit differently now. What if it's not on you? What if you're not the one driving the bus, so to speak? And what if you have almost like hands in over the steering wheel of how you've been driving? What if it would be okay to actually just take your hands off the wheel for just now? Just for now. Taking a bit of a break. Knowing that in a way your steering wheel was a lot like those children's steering wheels that they have in cars sometimes, if you've ever seen that. It's like a second wheel that the kids get to play with. Yeah. And What if whatever's driving this bus isn't actually your personal will? What if you got to soften into that grace, that relationship to whatever you call that which is eternal? And then we're linking that all into the navel, sense of new connections, new possibilities, internally and externally alike. We're tapping this all out here, invitation to breathe and receive. And to integrate that all, we're linking in cortices. Linking in cortices to first the pelvic bowl, pelvic diaphragm, then to the crown of the head diaphragm, then to the regular breathing one, and then into the thoracic inlets. And then a fifth round for good measure to tie them all together into that one synchronous unit. And as they sync up, releasing any remaining bits of low self-esteem through the various lymph nodes. In particular, around the theme of, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And then linking that again into all things heart, all things harmony. That in turn links into the jaw and the part of the heart meridian that goes up into the face that hangs out around that lower jaw. Releasing any particular tensions to the musculature of the jaw, the cheeks, even the neck, side, back, neck muscles, front neck muscles. And here, releasing any particular fears around getting slapped in the face or feeling like you might make a fool of yourself being slapped in the face. And underlying all of that, being a disappointment, being rejected, being outcast. And as those fall away, bringing hydration into the eyes to see a new vision, to perceive anew, to notice what's new with fresh new eyes. And linking that into the navel again for connection, to connect to life through fresh new eyes, fresh new possibilities. And it's linking now into the time in which you first opened up your eyes to take in this beauty of this world around you. And if there is anything in particular that didn't seem to support taking in the beauty of this world around you, releasing any of those particular fears. And any layers of anger that have built up around it all to protect it. And then releasing that all the way through the entire digestive system. It doesn't have to try to digest life through those lenses of fear and anger. Which allows the divo to soften even more. we're tapping here. Invitation to breathe, receive. Running the permissions as we tap this one out one more time. You're so held here. You get to be so held in this life, even when it doesn't feel like it. Held by the natural world. Held by the moon, the sun, the sky, the land, the trees, the earth, and everything in between. Offering that another round or two of breath. Letting yourself gently land, taking that soft landing. And if it feels right, you're welcome to bring in that resource that you found at the very beginning. I've got a song here. It is a longer one. It's 7 minutes. It's by, I never say the name right, Maok, M-A-O-K. And the song is I Am Your Soul, Part 2. It's from the album Gracias. Invitation to stay with that breath. And even playing, perhaps with that pelvic rocking, one more time for calls to you. However, doing it as gently and as softly as can be available in this moment.
Kráčaj
Thank you so much for this opportunity to work together in these ways. Thank you so much for calling this medicine in. And thank you for all of you. Blessings on your day and your week ahead. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Bye for now, loves. And you're most welcome. Yeah, you're most welcome.